Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and I'm just so excited to be here with you today because we are going to talk quilting all hour long. I have three guests, and let me bring you an intro for the first one. This is going to be a lot of fun. Have you heard of the design group called Blue Underground? Now, doesn't that sound like jazzy and really like, ooh, what's that all about? Blue Underground Studios is a collaborative group of designers, and I have Amy Walsh on, and she is one of the originators of the Blue Underground Studios. So hi, Amy, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Pat. How are you?
I am wonderful, but I must congratulate you on the newest little person in your family.
Thank you. She's just over a week old today.
Oh my gosh, Amy, and you are like a trooper to be on the show today. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. It feels good to kind of be back in the saddle, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, if anybody's gone out to the blog today, truebluequilts.blogspot.com, you get to see the adorable new Miss Elizabeth Louise. She is.
Yes.
Oh, just so sweet. Okay.
Thank you.
And laying on quilts, I must say. Yes, she's
yes,
already.
And all Blue Underground designs.
Oh, yes, of course.
We had to make sure. Yes.
So, Amy, tell me a little bit about what Blue Underground is. And, of course, I want to know the name because I just think of a jazz music group or something. You know, it's just such a cool name.
Thank you. Thanks. We, Janine Berkey and myself started Blue Underground Studios, and we definitely wanted to pick a name that would make people pause and say, hey, what's that all about? Mm-hmm. And so after much deliberation and many phone calls, you know how it is thinking of a name for your business, we both had studios in our basements, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting on the stairs in my basement. We definitely wanted a color affiliated. We both agreed with blue. Mm-hmm. And it just occurred to us during a phone conversation that we both designed underground.
Oh.
So that's how we kind of came up with the name. We do dare to dream that maybe we will have above ground studios someday. So we'll have to see if that pans out for either one of us.
I know. Yeah, that is just an amazing, and I love the light bulb that you have.
That was a former student of mine who came up with that. The kind of bare bulb is it's dual significance. So it's, you know, an unfinished basement frequently has those.
Yes.
And then also like the idea, you know, light bulb can signify a great idea.
Well, it's brilliant. You guys have really done it. You made it with that whole thing. So tell me a little bit about the quilts that your group designs.
Well, we definitely design patterns that have today's busy quilters in mind. Both of us were long-arm quilters before we started designing patterns. And we both really felt we saw a commonality among all the quilters, regardless of the type of quilts they were making. They basically all were working very hard to fit quilting into their schedules. Mm-hmm. Even if they didn't work, you know, they had soccer practice that they were driving to or, you know, different commitments in their lives. So we just kind of felt that a lot of quilters we knew were just itching to sew, and they would take any, you know, 5 or 10 minute snatch that they could. Mm-hmm. So that's how we came to pattern designing, was that we wanted to create patterns that were really concise, very clear directions, and designs that were simple enough where they could be executed in a reasonable amount of time, but they would also be exciting enough so that you could do color work and, you know, advanced quilters and adventurous quilters could use them to grow as well.
Oh, you know, if you go out to your website, blueundergroundstudios.com, you have a gallery and you have, you know, all the patterns out there. That's, you know, I think that's really interesting, Amy, that you, as a long armer, you saw all kinds of quilts.
Yes, absolutely. I quilted double wedding rings, and I quilted totally modern, pared down, you know, quilts with like one block in the center.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So,
yeah, that's really fascinating because you have such a different perspective than even like going to a guild. I go to a lot of guilds and I see something similar. There's a lot more quilts that are quicker and doable so that people can enjoy the whole process.
Yes, and I think that's especially important right now because fabrics come and go quickly and the trends change.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a new stack of fabric, you want to do something with it. You know, you don't want to be looking at it in 5 years in the fat quarter pack.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? When it's no longer, you know, when the color of the year is no longer, you know, tangerine tango or whatever it is this year, you know?
Aha. Uh-huh. That's a very good point. You fall out of love with things sometimes.
Correct.
If you haven't used it up.
Correct.
Now, you and I talked, Amy, a little bit about techniques, and you are a two-ruler girl. Tell me a little bit about what you do.
I do like two rulers. When I go to the cutting board, I put a piece of fabric out, and I'm right-handed. Mm-hmm. So I've got one ruler that I'm holding with my left hand, and I use the ruler in my right hand to square up the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of line it up along the selvage. A lot of people, including my business partner, Janine, she uses the cutting board and cuts from the other way.
Mm-hmm.
We cut totally kind of mirror image from each other. So I love teaching classes with her because there's so many different ways that women cut. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of share the way we cut as well. And sometimes I learn things from our students, and then sometimes they learn from us, which is kind of neat. But I learned the two-ruler technique in a store in Wisconsin, actually, called Patched Works.
Mm-hmm.
That was where I had my first quilting class, and the owner there taught me how to cut with two rulers, and ever since then I have been, you know how you kind of get comfortable with your first method.
You do, and sometimes it just becomes part of your arm almost. You just go... Yeah, you don't even think about it, do you? You just start.
It's second nature.
Oh, now you also told me you like spray starch. Why is that?
Yeah. I do. You know, it's funny. As a long arm quilter, I didn't really use a lot of starch when I was piecing, but I recently, within the last 2 years, had an iron where it was leaking. And so I was unable to use the steam in my iron, and it was irritating me because things weren't getting as flat as they needed to. So we were working on quilts for a book, and I just, in a moment of desperation, said to my husband, go to Dominic's and get me some spray starch, and he did.
Yeah.
And I've, like, never looked back. It's kind of, I love how flat it makes all the seams, and it makes everything just kind of, I even feel like it makes the corners more matchable because your folded over iron seams are as flat as they possibly can be.
Now, you use some of the alternate products to starch. You know, there's like a Best Press, and there's some other products that people like. Do you see any difference, or you just happen to like starch?
I do. I like starch really as an entity itself. However, I have found that the Best Press I love if I just need like a light starch, if I'm working with, for example, shot cottons or a lighter solid or a poplin. But if I'm using, for example, batiks where the thread count is a little heavier and the fabric is a little bit more toothy, I really prefer to use the spray starch like Niagara.
Oh, okay.
It kind of depends on what I'm working on.
Because I have noticed some, you know, they do have a difference in what the end result is. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've noticed also that as I stopped using steam, the starch, even the Best Press, can make the fabric and the seams lie straighter than steam. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have foregone, I don't use steam anymore in my iron.
Interesting. So are you a detailed person, Amy, yourself? Do you find
you know, it depends. I pick and choose the details.
Yeah.
sometimes, I also have to admit, it depends on the mood that I'm in.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, when we're just sewing a quilt and we just need it to get done so quickly, you don't have time to really take care of the details like you would like to. Mm-hmm. So I do find myself picking and choosing. However, I did grow up around, my mother and grandmother were always quilting, and my grandfather was a woodworker and very, very precise, and he would always check our corners.
Yes.
So I can't get away from hoping that all my corners match in case he sees it.
Just in case. Well, tell me, Bill, we have a project in the American Patchwork and Quilting June issue 2012 that'll be on the newsstands in a couple of days. And you worked with silk in this project. Can you just tell me, like, some tips for working with silk? I've not done that.
Sure. We have found that silk is a lot like cotton, with the exception of the fray. So if you just sort of jump into it without fear, you can cut it up, and we really recommend that you cut it close to the date that you're going to sew it so that the pieces aren't floating around your sewing room, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That way the fray will not lessen the size of your pieces, literally. Mm-hmm. We've also found that if you change your needle, it's really helpful because it helps to go through the silk. We like to use the Microtex sharp needles.
Okay.
We do not use spray starch for silk. We just use a regular iron and iron your seams open. And it's a beautiful end result, in our opinion. It's kind of classy looking, you know. Mm-hmm. It can go modern or traditional. It's not washable, so it's not something you necessarily want to do for, you know, a throw for your family room couch, but something that is going to be a decorative piece. Silk is definitely beautiful when it's quilted up.
Now, the piece that we have in the next issue is called Get in Line, and it's a runner with sort of an asymmetrical linear piecing on it. So, yeah, people need to check that out. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It's a lot of fun because I freeform pieced it. You know, I didn't really measure. I do provide the measurements in the pattern, but as I was sewing it, I just was able to slide the pieces left and right to get the look that I wanted. So it's very improvisational and a lot of fun.
Right. And it's an easy one to try for that, I think, if you've never done improvisational work.
Yes. And also an easy project to start with silk because you don't have to worry so much about the measurements and your quarter-inch seam if you're experiencing fray.
Excellent. And this is from one of your books or something?
No, this was a new pattern that I had actually submitted was accepted for publication in the magazine.
Okay, and you also have a book, though, out. We reference your book, I think, in the article, Colorful Quilts.
We do, yes. It came out last September, Colorful Quilts for Fabric Lovers. Janine and I both have quilts in the book, five apiece, and it was published by C&T.
Wonderful. This got a gorgeous quilt on the cover of that book, too.
That's Janine's quilt. That's one of our favorites.
Well, Amy, this has been absolutely marvelous to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you want to go out and visit Blue Underground Studios at blueundergroundstudios.com and see Amy and Janine's work. And we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. And when we come back, I just want to tell you that we have another author on with a brand new technique. And then following that, we're going to talk a little modern quilting.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts & More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaHoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Get quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am very fortunate in this job to be able to meet lots of new quilters to me. And today I have on a quilter that is a new friend in the industry, and she's a new author. Her website is a threadfromtheedge.blogspot.com, and we're going to talk with Lisa O'Neill about her book and quilting in general. So, hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm very well, Pat. How are you? It's nice talking with you today.
I'm just really excited to have you on here. Your blog is a lot of fun, and your book is, of course, fabulous. Absolutely amazing. I got to have a peek at it because I think it is not in the stores yet sometime this month, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, Lisa, tell me, before we talk about your book, tell me a little bit about your quilting and, you know, why you blog and just sort of, you know, what are you all about? That's easy, right?
Well, that was a really easy question.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. My quilting, I think I'm one of those people that are kind of all over the place. I really do like to quilt and try new things with almost every quilt that I do. That was somewhat the challenge in writing a book because I did 11 projects for the book all along the same lines using the same technique, which is something I tend not to do. I tend to have every quilt kind of look like something different always. And I blog because I really love to blog. I really like sharing what I'm doing. And I will admit, I am not a very consistent blogger at times. And then at other times, I will have a blog post up every single day. So it's part of how life can keep us busy and keep us away from the computer.
I know you belong to a lot of different groups. You were just writing me today that you went like on a fiber hop. What was that all about?
I did. I went to, right now, I live outside of Philadelphia, and right now it's Philly Fiber Fest, which is a celebration within the galleries of the greater Philadelphia area, focusing on fiber artists. So today I went to have a look at the Studio Art Quilt Association's exhibit that they have going on right now called Art Quilt Elements. That is at the Wayne Art Studio.
Ah, and was it fabulous? Did you love it?
It was absolutely fantastic. I love to go in and to look at the selection and to sit back and pretend that I am a juror. it's just really exciting, and it's a unique way to look at the quilts that they decide to jury into the shows. And to look at the quilts and then read what the artist's statement is and to find out what the background was to that quilt, what the inspiration was, and what the artist was trying to communicate.
Well, I'm sort of, you know, sort of skimming along on your blog. And even if you don't blog every day, which is totally fine, what you have there is just really interesting. I love seeing your thoughts. You're a very playful quilter from what I see on your blog. You like to have fun.
I do. And I'm actually in a transition period right now with my blog, too, because I'm creating a hybrid of a blog / website that will actually just be found under a threadfromtheedge.com.
Okay.
I still keep both of them up and running, but I'm actually creating my hybrid under a threadfromtheedge.com without Blogspot at the end of that.
Ah, well, good. Well, we'll be watching for that. I want to talk about your book now. It's called Sliver Quilts, and the quilt on the cover is just, you know, it's stunning. It's sort of a collaboration of the one quilt because they've overlaid like a circle on top of the other four, and it's just amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about the technique? Because I did get a chance to walk through it, and I'm like, wow, how did you figure this out? It's incredible.
Thanks. It was the result of a challenge, and I wanted to take the rules of the challenge, and I wanted to make it look like I broke the rules.
Ah.
And the one rule to the challenge was that you were not allowed to repeat a fabric in the quilt, kind of having like a charm quilt appearance to it. And I actually wanted to make it look like I repeated the fabric, when in fact I did not repeat the fabric. And to accomplish that,
I used to do a lot of heirloom sewing. I smocked a lot of clothing for my children, and I thought immediately of using a French seam, but kind of doing it in reverse, where I'm actually trying to expose expose a piece of fabric. So what I did was I created tucks in the background of the fabric, tucks or creases, and into those creases I sew a sliver of fabric that then stands up on top of the quilt. And then
so is
I
it dimensional at that point, Lisa?
It is dimensional. It is. It is dimensional at that point. And actually, some of the projects in the book do not have you sew that sliver down. Some of the patterns allow that sliver to stand up. It's based on really the look that you would like to have, the width of the sliver at that point, because smaller slivers look beautiful when they're not appliqué down and when they're allowed to give that three-dimensionality to the quilt.
You know, you have how many projects in the book? Do you remember?
There are 11 projects in the book.
11. Yeah, she's got that memorized. 11.
Right. Yes, I do. I did 14, and 11 of them made it in the book. So
Now, do you have one in there that you feel is like a good starter one for people to give this technique a go?
Well, and that's actually what I love about the way the book was set up is I do progress from really introducing the quilter to the technique, because it is completely different from what we think about. So the book does progress from a very simplistic quilt, which is where you're just putting a sliver into a straight of grain crease, and then into the more complex patterns where you're using diagonal slivers, and you're putting them into creases on a bias, or even to the cover, which looks extremely complicated. It's really a version of a New York beauty, if you will, but without one little bit of paper piecing, without any fusible, no raw edges, and that quilt can be done in 2 hours.
Yeah, I want to come sit with you so that you can show me how to. That's the quilt I want to make.
It is. It takes creating the arc for that type of block from a very complicated, labor-intense process to something that you sit and mindlessly sew quarter-inch seams into arcs of fabric.
So on you know, for those of you who are listening and you haven't seen the cover of the book yet, it's like a spiral going around, like the New York Beauty spikes, but there's a whole circle of them. And so they're just, you know, they just vibrate. They're so stunning. And it's called Helios Quilt, right?
Right. It's called Helios,
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And totally and while it looks very complicated, once you meet and greet the idea of how I accomplished that, you will sit back and go, why did I not think of this before? Because it is so simple to do that arc. And then all you have left to do then is sew your corner pieces in and you're finished with the block.
Now, do you think this is, are you teaching this now? You know, do you teach at all? I forgot whether I asked you that.
I am starting to teach. I have never, I had not done any quilting lectures or workshops in the past, but I have been starting with my local guilds to teach, and I have a number of other lectures that I'm scheduled to give for the next year, and it's actually quite a lot of fun. And it's amazing when people see that pattern and look at how complex it looks, and then they try it and they can't believe how actually simple it can be.
Yeah, this looks like one that would be excellent for teachers to get to have your book and, you know, have the students have the book and do workshops, because it looks like something that once you see it done, it probably clicks for a lot of people versus,
it makes
you know.
It makes it so simple because the arc is never cut into smaller pieces. It's simply cut larger, and then the folds are created to hold the slivers, and by sewing that exact quarter-inch seam, you take that larger cut arc, and by sewing the seams, it shrinks into exactly the size you need it to be to finish your block.
Well, you know, you're just brilliant. You're just brilliant, Lisa. It's just a wonderful, wonderful first book. I can't tell you that enough. It's so cool.
Well, thank you so much.
Now, tell me, do you have a hobby? You told me you have sort of a fun hobby.
I have a fun hobby. I am by profession a dietitian, and my hobby is without a doubt food and nutrition. I'm actually a volunteer. I run a farmer's market for my community, and I am an avid foodie. I love to cook. I love everything there is about farmer's markets, and it's really a major passion of mine.
Oh, this, I love farmers markets as well. That's why it's like, you know, your hobby is like hanging out at farmers markets. It's like, what could be better than that? You know,
it is wonderful. And I get to visit all of my farmers as well. So I just love getting out there and getting onto their property and seeing what it is that they're growing or the animals they're raising and whatnot. It's been a lot of fun. I'm 1 year into this market and I just love every minute of it.
Oh, and this is a job or is it a volunteer thing you do?
No, this is a volunteer position, but it can quickly take over your life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that sounds like almost like a job. But
yeah, but it's wonderful, too. And I actually really find that quilting goes hand in hand with meeting and greeting the farmers, and they get comfortable with me right away when they see that, you know, I am also a quilter. And, you know, there's something a little bit, especially where I live in Pennsylvania, where quilting and farming go hand in hand. And to show that I'm a quilt artist, they can connect to that right away.
That's cool. That's pretty neat. Do you have something in common to talk about then?
Exactly.
Oh, well, Lisa, this has been totally fabulous. I thank you for coming on and sharing about your book, and I hope to see you in person.
Well, thanks so much for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it. And I hope if anyone's interested in a lecture or a workshop for their guild, that they'll feel comfortable giving me a ring.
That's right. See Lisa at athreadfromtheedge.com, and we'll be right back after this break.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs and Baby's Going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we have been talking quilting, and now we're going to talk some more. Yes, we have Heather Jones of Olive and Ollie on the show today. Heather and I have been friends for a really long time, and I just can't wait for you to meet her and learn a little bit about her work and the Modern Quilt Guild and some other fun stuff. So, Heather, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm excited to talk to you. I haven't seen you in person for a while.
I know. It's been too long.
I know. Last year. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Too long. We need
almost
to fix that.
Almost a year, yeah.
Fix that, Miss Heather. Yes. So tell me a little bit about how you got interested in quilting.
Oh, let's see. I've always loved quilts and quilting for as long as I can remember. I grew up with quilts. I have, you know, family members who made quilts, not my mom or my grandmother, but great-great aunts and stuff made quilts. Yeah, so a couple generations passed. But honestly, I was kind of intimidated by quilting. I thought, you know, quilts took forever to finish. you know, not necessarily, you know, I didn't think I had the time to do it.
Yeah.
But I saw, my husband and I went to see the G's Bend exhibition when it came to Cleveland in 2004. Mm-hmm. And that honestly, I mean, that kind of like rocked my world because I had never seen quilts like that. I thought they were amazing. And it really kind of changed the way I looked at quilts. But then, of course, Denise Schmidt and the Modern Quilt Guild movement. And really when I started the chapter in Cincinnati of the Modern Quilt Guild, I sort of made the time. I had made quilts in the past, but when I started the Modern Quilt Guild here in Cincinnati, I made the time to work on quilts myself.
Your business, Olive and Ollie, was at one point children's clothing.
Right. Yep. It started as children's clothing. I didn't start it with the intent of it really actually being a business. I didn't know that that was a possibility. I opened up an Etsy shop after I had my first child, and because I wanted some extra income, I didn't want to go back to my day job. Mm-hmm. And then we were surprised when he was 9 months old with a second child. I got pregnant when he was 9 months old. And she was quite a surprise. So, I, you know, thought, well, now I'm going to have two babies, so I really need to kind of kick this into high gear. And, I started making children's applique t-shirts, blankets, bibs, that type of stuff.
And so how did you come up with the name Olive and Ollie? I know it has a really special story.
It does, yeah. Olive was my great grandma on my dad's side. It was my dad. She was my dad's grandma, and she was from a small town in Ohio. And my aunt Ollie, she was actually my great great aunt on my mom's side, and she was from a little town in Kentucky. And my middle name is Olivia after both of them. And I knew both of them. They both passed away when I was young, like, you know, 6 and 8 years old. But I got the, you know, opportunity to meet both of them. And I just thought they were the most amazing women because they, you know, they made stuff by hand, all sorts of stuff that, you know, like my mom and my grandma didn't do. you know, but
so
I
you connected
just,
to them even as
I,
a little
yeah.
kid.
I did, you know, and maybe it's because I was named after them. But yeah, I saw this strong connection to both of them. So when I went to, you know, start my little Etsy shop and blog, I thought, oh, well, that would be a fun name. And, you know, it has a significance to it. So that's how it started.
Yeah. That's how it started. Oh,
that's how it started.
Yeah. Now, I'm on your blog right now, which is oliveandollie.com, and there is the huge, big, wonderful announcement that you have a new line of patterns. How exciting.
Yeah, so exciting. Yeah, it's been a long time coming, so I'm really glad that they're actually finally finished. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. They look gorgeous.
Thank you.
And you've done a really nice job with your presentation of the patterns.
Thank you. That's my husband. He's my graphic designer. I took the photograph. I obviously make and design the quilt and take the photograph, but everything else is him. So I owe him big time.
So let's talk a little bit about designing. First is, you know, how you work, because, you know, we were chatting a little bit and you like, paper, right?
I do. Yeah. I actually have never designed on a computer. I'm kind of old school with, sketchbook and pencils. And I try to keep a sketchbook, like in my purse at all times, because I just never know when I'll see something and get an idea. So I like to be able to, you know, grab my sketchbook and draw something. I have a background in fine art, so I don't know, maybe that's why I'm like more comfortable with drawing and, you know, sketching on actual paper with a pencil and pen rather than, you know, working on a computer. But, yeah, I just, you know, The computer kind of scares me when it comes to designing.
when I'm working, if I want to sketch, I can't sketch on the computer because once I go to the computer, that's like real. It's like, oh, I can't just mess around. I can't just sort of make this sloppy little marks to sort of get ideas flowing. I still have to do that on paper.
Yeah. I don't know. It's more, and I'm sure, you know, people who like are more familiar with design on computer probably feel the same way that I do about, you know, paper, but I don't know. It's just something nice and quick and relaxing just to grab your sketchbook.
Grab your sketchbook. Yeah. Do you also like, are you really organized, Heather? Do you, you know, always use the same sketchbook or do you have like 15 sketchbooks and paper napkins in the back of envelopes? And
I'm not real organized. I do try to work in the same sketchbook though. I try to keep, I have a bigger sketchbook and then like a small one that I can throw in my purse. So I do try to, you know, keep them in the same sketchbook because honestly, if I have too many, I'll lose them and not be able to, you know, think where did I put that drawing. So you definitely get, you know, a few sketchbooks at a time.
Okay. We'll let you have a few. So let's talk a little bit about let's talk about your workspace. I'm always interested in how people work and what their workspaces are like. I mean, and you have a very young family, so you have, you know, small children. So you probably have some challenges about your workspace. Maybe you could share a few of how to have a space of your own but still have small children around because people have grandchildren coming in or like me, nieces and nephews. You know, how do you keep everything safe and for you and them?
Right. Yeah, I'm lucky to have a dedicated space in my house. And I used to work in the dining room, but I sort of have overtaken the dining room, and now I'm in our formal living room. So, but it's nice because the kids, I mean, I want the kids to be in here with me too, you know, as it's not, they're not, you know, it's not a space where they're not allowed. In fact, I encourage them to come in with me and they love to play on my design wall. And, they're 4 and 5 now, so they're not too little. I mean, I won't have to worry about them, you know, eating pins or whatnot. But, you know, I've been doing this since they were babies. So I just try to keep everything that could be potentially dangerous away and up. So, you know, I have got safety pins in a container or, you know, quilting pins are kind of put up, that type of stuff. Scissors, it's put up where they can't access it. I mean, it's still, you know, it's still out. I don't pack up everything every night. I'm lucky enough to not have to do that. So everything is out, but, you know, just dangerous type things are put up. Irons are put up, you know, where they can't get to them.
But do you have like a door for this area or it's open?
I do have, we live in an old house, so I've got pocket doors. So I can close it off, but I typically have them open. And I just am careful to, you know, again, put up the dangerous stuff when I need to. High up on the table or high up on the shelf so they can't get to it.
And so you, are they interested? Are your children interested now in your fabrics and, you know, messing around with them?
Yeah, they are. It's fun. Olivia, especially my little girl, loves to play with scraps and she loves the colors and, she'll take a pile of scraps and just, I've got, a couple design walls in my, studio that I, my living room studio that, I work with and, she'll just come and, you know, make these installations where she's just sticking fabric up on the wall. And my little boy, too, not so much anymore that he's getting a little bit older, but,
Neat.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Modern Quilt Guild because you became very active, like you said, in that, like, you know, right away, as soon as sort of the big internet umbrella popped up, they were encouraging people to build in-person quilt guilds in your community. And so you started the Cincinnati group. How's that going now? And, you know, I know that I don't think you're the president anymore, right?
My tenure just ended in February. So, when I heard about the Modern Quilt Guild movement, I thought it sounded so exciting because, you know, while I sewed and quilted some, none of my friends really, you know, in real life. I had, you know, blog friends, mm-hmm. but no one that I knew really locally did this. They thought, oh, you know, you sew, you quilt. Okay, that's neat. But it wasn't, you know, no one really got it. So when I found out about this whole movement, I thought, well, that's so exciting. And I looked to see if there was one in Cincinnati, and there wasn't. And this was, gosh, this was like February of 2010, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, and at that time, gosh, my kids, Olivia was just turning two, and Aiden was like 3.5, so they were even younger. And then I had this Etsy business too, which at that point was really kind of becoming successful. So, you know, it's not like I had tons of time, but I thought, oh, this would be a really great thing. So I started the group, and we had our first meeting that April, so April 2010. And we've just been growing. It started with like 10 people. And we first met, our first couple meetings were held at a small local fabric store in mm-hmm. Cincinnati. And then, but it was really small. And one of our members then said, well, just come meet at our house. So we met at her house. She was so gracious to host us for about a year.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. And her, she's amazing. Her husband is an amazing baker. So we would we would have homemade bread and pretzels and just amazing.
I want to sign up for that one.
No kidding. It was awesome. I miss meeting at her house.
Oh my gosh. You can only hold the meeting if your husband bakes for us. That sounds good.
He always did too. We owe Zach and Sue big time. They're great. They're just great. And so then we met there for about a year, but as our membership started to increase, mm-hmm. we really thought we needed to find another space. And we thought too, I mean, it was great meeting at Sue's house. Mm-hmm. You know, new members might feel a little intimidated to come to a meeting at somebody's house that they didn't know.
Right,
so we really wanted to find like a neutral space. So Sue actually found, where we meet now. It's a barn. It's a 19th century barn on the grounds of a convent.
Oh, my gosh. We wanted to finish that thought when we come back from a little break. We'll be right back with Heather Jones of Olive and Holly on American Patrick and Quilting Radio.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns, all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I'm talking to Heather Jones. Heather, now finish that thought. What kind of barn is your Cincinnati Quilt Guild meeting in now?
Yeah, it's a 19th century barn that has been remodeled for meeting space, and it's on the grounds of a convent, which is, yeah, it's beautiful. It's in the city of Cincinnati, mm-hmm. so, you know, it's mm-hmm. just this kind of nice little oasis where we have this beautiful meeting space, and it's really just kind of, I don't know, it sounds corny, but it's, like, inspiring to just be in this old
yeah.
building. And it's really great because even though it's been remodeled, they've left, you know, beams where they could. And so it has the feeling of a barn, even though it's been modernized. So it's really cool.
And your guild has a great opportunity coming up here in a couple of weeks because you have an exhibit at one of the biggest shows in the country.
Yeah, we've been working really hard with that. We were, we're so lucky. The folks at International Quilt Festival were interested in working with us on an exhibition of modern quilts by our members.
Exciting!
Yeah.
Gives me goosebumps.
Yeah. So exciting. I know. It's been a lot of work. So what we're doing is the show is called Cincinnati Modern Quilt Guild Presents a Modern Spin on the Ohio Star Block. Mm. And 13 of our members have made quilts. And they're all just a modern twist on the Ohio Star. Mm-hmm. So it's really been fun to see how different they all are. Even though they all have the same theme, they're really all so different. And I'm so excited and proud of our members who, I mean, they've done just such an incredible job. So we're really excited about that.
Now, is your quilt the Supernova, the one
yes.
that's hanging from you?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was my Ohio Star quilt. Yeah, it's one giant Ohio Star block.
Yeah, I just love it. It is
so
awesome.
Thank you. I do too. And it's just, you know, the simple construction, and I knew I wanted Angela Walters to quilt it because, you know, her work is amazing. So I'm really excited that we were able to work together on that project.
Now, also, just, you know, we're talking about quilting, and Angela is going to be on the show one day here in the next couple of weeks. But
yeah.
I want to talk to you about quilting in general. You are doing a lot of straight line quilting, I noticed.
Yes.
You know, tell me a little bit about why you like that. Maybe it's challenges.
Yeah, I love straight line quilting. I really just like the simplicity of it. I think, mm-hmm. And it's also, you know, when you're quilting yourself on your own, you know, smaller machine, I think it's one of the easier ways to quilt. It's kind of tedious, though, you know, making line after line. And I like really dense and heavy quilting. So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times my lines are like a quarter inch apart.
Yeah.
It's not really easy.
Insane.
I mean, it's time consuming and uses lots of thread. But I really love just the look of it. If I quilt myself, that's my favorite way to do it. But, if I send it out, I'll send it to Angela because her work is amazing.
Yeah, she does amazing work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, are you washing your quilts afterwards, or how do you usually address your quilts, particularly something you might be going to exhibit?
Yeah, well, I actually talked to Angela about that because my big Ohio Star quilt was the first quilt I had ever had someone else quilt. So I shouldn't say that because I've had quilts displayed that I've washed before. Angela's thought was to not wash them because she felt that if they're more flat, they lay better, you know, on the wall while they're hanging.
Right.
So I haven't washed that one yet. So mm-hmm. it's an experiment.
Okay. Well, you know, you have to try it out and see different ways. And a lot of people will wash and then block them so they get them back into that sort of flat look, the pre-washed look.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, let's talk about your style a little bit, Miss Heather, because you are just a styling woman lately.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Last year, and everybody can go to Heather's website, and you can see winner, because Heather entered the competition the Modern Quilt Guild was doing, and she didn't just win once, twice. No, she won three of the four competitions.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Just, you know. Yeah, crazy. I mean, your quilts are just over the moon wonderful. You had a theme each time, and you had to rock that theme with a modern quilt. Tell me, you know, Heather, what happened to you during that whole process? That was like a year-long process, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, There were four challenges over the year.
What happened to your quilting as you went along and your thought process on it? Because I observed changes, but how did you feel yourself?
I think, I mean, each of those challenges, like you said, had a certain theme. And I think I really just tried to challenge myself and do things that I had never done before. So, I mean, for instance, like the monochromatic quilt, I had never even made a monochromatic quilt. So I thought, well, let's just do this. And, you know, it's just really trying to try new things. While I love and greatly respect traditional quilting, I just want my work to kind of not look like anybody else's. I don't know. Does that make sense? I just kind of want to do my own thing, and I just, find inspiration, like I said, anywhere. So it's just,
It looks to me like you sort of, broke out even a little bit during that year of your thoughts. You know, you were maybe, I think for a lot of us, even when we design, we don't always have that sort of structure to work in. You know, not only had it be modern, you have to have a theme.
Right. Yeah. I think too, the thing that I think I focused on was finding inspiration in different places. So not necessarily looking at other quilts that would inspire me, but one of the winners was based on a silo that was at a farm about 10 miles from my house. So and the funny thing is the silo, I have driven past it probably 100 times, but then one day I was driving. Well, luckily I wasn't driving. My husband was driving because it just looked different that day for some reason. And I grabbed my sketchbook that I always keep in my purse and drew out this quick sketch. And, that was the fourth challenge, which was, the theme of that one was to find your own voice. And so that was the toughest one for me because, it was so open-ended, that could be almost anything. So that was a design that I had thought of a couple months prior, and I thought, well, I will, I'll make it, and that will be my my entry. And the funny thing is, I had never even entered any quilting contest, and I certainly didn't enter thinking I would win one, let alone three. Right. And I always feel a little weird talking about myself. So I don't know. It's a shock and a great honor. So, very excited that I have done that. So,
did you have any kind of nice little prize that went associated with these things?
Great prizes, great prizes. Lots of fabric, books, lots of batting. And then my favorite was the best critiques from the judges. The three different judges that chose mine were Valerie Wells, Malka Dubrowski, and Denise Schmidt. And just to have them respond so positively to my work, that's amazing. That was the best prize by all, or of all.
I think that's why a lot of people like to enter shows, is to receive some feedback and critique because they're exploring a style or exploring their work or trying to come to a different level of their work. And that's how you get a variety of people that you wouldn't normally have an opportunity to interact with to comment on your quilt. Cool.
Very cool. So, very cool.
Yes. Well,
I'm done with quilt competitions for a while.
You're done no more. You just make patterns.
Yeah, I think I'm done with that. It's kind of stressful. It's still fun, obviously, and that's why I did it, because it was fun. But, it's also sort of, a challenge. So, I'm done with those, I think.
Move on. Been there, done that. Yeah. Yes. So, do you have a traditional pattern? I know you just did the Ohio Star, but do you have traditional pattern in the back of your mind that you want to make as a quilter? As a quilter, I want to be sure I make a XYZ type of quilt.
Yeah, I would love to do a double wedding ring quilt sometime. Mm-hmm. The curved piecing, it's so beautiful. They're so beautiful, but one day, maybe.
You'll have to make it your own, some sort of...
Yeah.
Or even
Denise Smith, single girl. I want to make that too. I've had the pattern forever, but I even have my fabrics, laid out for it. But just finding the time to do it all is—it's hard.
It is hard. It is hard when you run a business and you have a family and all the different pieces. You Also, you were mentioning about the antique quilts. You actually own some antique quilts, right?
I do, yeah. I'm lucky enough to have some. I have a couple that my Aunt Ollie made. Gives me goosebumps. My Aunt Ollie made me a baby quilt. And I have that. So, yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, they're almost 36 years old. and it's, you know, it's so cute. It's pink and it's really simple pattern, but it's just, I mean, she hand pieced it, she hand quilted it. And so I've had that my whole life and I, you know, absolutely love it. And then I have another quilt that my mom, this is terrible. I think in the 80s, her children sold some of her quilts at a garage sale. I know. And my mom, fortunately, was able to buy a couple of her things. She also, you know, crocheted afghans, so we've got a couple afghans that she made, but she was able to get some of the pieces from the garage sale, so I'm glad that she was able to do that. And then I've got my stepmom gave me about a year or two ago about 10 or 12 quilts that her grandmother and great-grandmother had made, and no one else in their family wanted them, and she knew that I would. I know, I just can't understand that. She knew that I would, you know, take care of them and give them a good home. So it was so kind of her to share them with me, and they're beautiful. They're just beautiful.
Yeah, and you've shared them on your blog a couple of times. You know, every so often you'll put one up there. And So what are you working on right now, Miss Heather?
Oh, some fun things. Some things, you know, obviously you can't talk about, unfortunately.
Right.
But
would you have a book? You have some things in a book. I saw that on your blog.
I do. Yeah, I was just included in a book, a compilation book from Stash through Suzanne Wood's pick. It's called Seaside Home. And that's one of my applique patterns in that. And also working on a book that comes out later this year with Martingale. I think I can say a little bit about that. It's another collaborative book. And then I also got the okay from Angela to talk about this. Angela and I are working on a book that we're going to, she's actually going to self-publish. It's a story about how, sort of about how she got into quilting, but through the eyes of a grandfather telling his granddaughter about quilts. And I did the illustrations. She asked me to illustrate the book. So, So it's great. She's going to have some samples at Quilt Market, and then she'll sell them on her website and blog and, you know, through lectures that she does. So it was so fun. That was such a fun project. I just finished it, finished my part of it, actually. And I used to draw and paint all the time, so it was fun to get back into it.
Get back to it. Well, thank you, Heather.
Thank
you. I love talking to you. Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Okay, sounds
Heather.
Good.
Bye-bye. Visit Heather at oliveandollie.com, and I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Go visit our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thank